Excited to introduce to you our guest speaker today, Pastor Ryan. Ryan has joined the Aspen Grove Network in the last couple months, so can we give it up for Ryan? Warm welcome.
Thank you.
Take it away, man.
You know, Karen, I'm just sitting next to a great group of guys here in the front row. I just asked, do you like Christmas? And he said, yeah. I think there's going to be a revolt. There should be a guy's Christmas breakfast coming up, too. 28 tables in this room. It's going to be remarkable. Hey, I want to welcome you to Highlands Church here this morning. Really am just grateful and honored to be able to share with you guys today. Like Brody said, my name is Ryan, one of the pastors, part of the team with the Aspen Grove Network, which if you're unaware of what that is, this church is a part of a network of other churches. And just even last weekend, last Sunday night, we got to be right here with all four of the churches represented and just sharing from our annual meeting of what God is doing. But then all of you, you should just know that you're part of a really great church that's having a profound impact, not only in this community, but also around the Twin Cities and even further than that as well. So I just want to say, way to go. Thank you for being here, whether you're leading yourself to the front row. Way to go, guys. You guys can give it up for that. I love that. I just love it seeing you guys up here with your Bibles, and it's just proud of you for that. But maybe you're leading your family here too. I don't take that lightly because I know that we could be doing many different things throughout our days, usually a Sunday being our day off, and you prioritize being in church. So just really proud of you for that. But thankful to Pastor Aaron and Brody and Amy and the team here letting me be able to share with you guys here. It's just a gift. But I want to introduce my family to all of you. It's my wife, Christina, in the picture here. And then we have two daughters, Macy and Madison. They're going to be 4 years old and 2 years old in the next couple of months. So it's just fast-paced around our house. We live in Lakeville, Minnesota, so it's about an hour drive when there's not frost on the roads, which it was this morning. It's just crazy. But we've been there for the last 6 years. And I've been a pastor for the last 11, which started out in Iowa. Anybody from Iowa here? Don't make me be the only one. We got one. Okay, very good. Sorry about our loss yesterday. If you watched the Hawkeyes, that was miserable. Just bad. But anyways, I started out in youth ministry at a church startup in Iowa. And then my brother and I started a church 10 years ago together in southeast Iowa. And then most recently, I moved to the Twin Cities after getting engaged to my wife, Christina. And then I've been on staff with Eagle Brook Church in the South Metro as a campus pastor for the last 6 years. And now most recently coming on the team here. But in the middle of all of that, I became somewhere obsessed with pickleball. And I know that this is true because my wife reminds me often. Anyways, if you go into the parking lot, you'll see one car with a pickleball attached to the antenna. That is mine. But we have been in a series the last few weeks called Boundless Joy. We're walking through the book of Philippians. It's been great, hopefully helpful for you to this point. Today, we're going to be talking about the first section of chapter 4 in the book of Philippians, which in my Bible, there's a header above this spot which says, Paul's words of encouragement. And I just kind of had to laugh out loud a little bit when I read that this week. And you might be wondering why I would laugh at that, because it's of this verse right here. I'll have it on the screen for you. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You might think that I'm being shallow and laughing at the Bible like this. I'll explain more in a second, I promise. But have you ever had times where it's difficult to rejoice? You know, I feel like it's safe to say every single one of us, we face stress, anxiety, conflict at different times in our lives. Some people face it more so than others. But here's what I want you to know is today, you have permission. If you ever go on vacation, you're allowed to drop your stress one level down. It's totally able to do that. Hopefully you can. About 3 years ago, I was on vacation shortly after a season I'd been working way too much. We were understaffed at my church for a long time, and so we had just gone through a hiring process to bring some more people on the team to help lighten the load. And so once we did, I told my supervisor, said, hey, we've got these new hires, so peace out. I'm going on vacation. And then 2 days into this vacation, I'm sitting on a boat in the middle of a lake, and I get a phone call from my boss saying that, hey, I'm so sorry, Ryan. One of your new hires had just resigned after only being on the job for like a week or two. My heart sank. That was a total bummer. But then later that day, I get home and I get a phone call from my stepmom saying that my dad was in the hospital after his third heart attack. And I just remember thinking, man, this is just crazy. There's nothing we could do in the moment. He was doing much better at that point. So I lean over to my wife and I'm like, hey, I got to just go for a run, get outside just to clear my head a little bit. You've been there before. And as soon as I got back to the house, I'm sitting in our dining room, and I could feel my chest starting to tighten up. I could barely breathe as I was starting to sob uncontrollably. And now looking back on that, I realize I was having the first time in my life a panic attack, the first time and really only time that I can possibly remember. I'd never experienced anything like that, let alone on a vacation. It's like the worst vacation of my life. So when I read Paul's words here, like, rejoice in the Lord always, I say again, rejoice. I think to myself, is this for real? Like, it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of rejoicing on vacations like those ones. Or it definitely doesn't feel like rejoicing when stress starts creeping in or anxiety is going up in our lives. Rejoice always? I mean, like, come on. Are we supposed to actually rejoice when you're burning the candles at both ends? Or how about when your spouse lies to you? Rejoice even then? Rejoice when you find out that you're battling cancer, or when you're losing a scholarship that you've been banking on for school. Maybe it's you find out your boyfriend or girlfriend's been cheating on you, or your children have just been struggling with an addiction or some other habits that maybe aren't the best. Rejoice even when, what if we can't even pay our next bills or our rent payment? Rejoice always? How could Paul possibly, with his, again, words of encouragement, expect us to rejoice always? Well, the verses go on. You can follow me here to verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then it starts verse 6. Be anxious about nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Sometimes when I read scripture like this, I think to myself, it sounds great. But I'm not sure that I can actually live up to that. I'm like, okay, I'll give it my best to take, but my anxiety just spikes thinking about the holidays over the next few weeks. Thanksgiving is coming, and then we have Christmas and New Year's. So much traveling involved, especially if you have family out of state. You know how it goes. But it is my subtle nudge, by the way. We are in November. My family has already started Christmas decorations, and this is full permission. You can get your trees out. You can start Christmas music, Christmas candles, and for all the women in the room, you are allowed to start the Christmas Hallmark movies. They're so good. Now, you can watch Christmas movies if you want a good one. One of my favorites is Home Alone, because I love these two characters, Harry and Marv. But these two guys, they face a different level of stress because little young Kevin McAllister, such a punk, he's got incriminating evidence of these two guys on his camera, and watch the stress that they face. Take a look at this video.
Since we're in a hurry, I'll make a deal with you. You throw down your camera, and we won't hurt you. You'll never hear from us again.
Okay.
Okay, kid. Give it to me. How many fingers am I holding up, Marv?
Eight.
You want to throw bricks? Go ahead. Throw another one. You got any more? What? What?
Let me get back up.
What?
Let me get back up.
That did it. Nobody throws bricks at me and gets away with it.
That's a picture of stress, isn't it? You just see it like, oh, it's so hard to even watch that. It's kind of like, do I feel like I can share a movie like this in church? I mean, I don't know. I wrestled with that, but I'm a guest speaker, so why not? I'm endorsing it. We move on. I digress. What I'm getting at here is we need to actually be careful with verse 6, to be anxious about nothing, because it looks great on coffee mugs or on bumper stickers. But I'm telling you, when other people in your life are feeling anxious and you just send the bup, 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 you text it out and you go, it's really hard, because what if it's our own stress or anxiety that we are facing in our lives? If that verse comes our direction, it's almost like being hit in the face with a brick. Because I know it is heavy at times for every single one of us, especially when you're in the thick of it all. And here's what I know, is that when you're facing anxiety, we can still rejoice because of the peace that is found only in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And maybe today, if I could just help shed some light on how to be able to rejoice in any season that you might find yourself in, I would love to just share with you two different ways from this passage in the Bible that you too can experience a peace like that. The first is this, that there's a peace that comes through perspective. You know, before Paul ever says, don't be anxious, he deals with something that every single one of us see at times in others and in our own lives, which is that causes stress and anxiety. It's conflict. Like we've all seen it, and it leads to anxiety because when we see conflict only through our perspective, through our own finite lens, it leaves us distracted. You see, Paul names two different women, Euodia and Syntyche. I don't know if I'm butchering their name or not, so sorry. But these two women, they actually used to probably serve side by side with each other in the church, but now they're at odds with one another, and there's a total tension taking place until, can you imagine, when this letter from the great Apostle Paul is being read before your church in Philippi, everyone's smiling, having a great day, enjoying their coffee, taking notes, when all of a sudden, out loud, it's being read for everyone to hear, verse 2, and it says, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, talk about awkward. Because you can almost hear their husbands leaning over and being like, I told you Paul would bring it up. You should have. Honestly, the tension must have been pretty bad in order for the word to get back to Paul while he's in prison and then for him to actually write back in a response like this one. You know, I think Paul addressing these two ladies here, I don't think he's shaming them at any point. I actually just believe that because he cares, because he loves them and the church that they're in, that he's shepherding them into a different posture, into a different understanding. Because of this, I believe it matters a great deal even for us, because it's good for us to know that when we lack peace with other people, oftentimes it stems from conflict and it can turn into anxiety. Like, have you ever had a conflict with somebody else where you have, like, the premeditated argument in your head 100 times? Like, I'm going to tell them exactly what is up. And then when you see the person in real life, you're like, hey, how are you? It's great to see you. Family's good. When we live divided from other people, or when we live disconnected from our Heavenly Father, we start to lose this heavenly perspective really quickly. I love what Stephen Covey, he wrote this book called 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. He's a leadership guru. This is an old school book, but it's still phenomenal. I believe it's timeless. He wrote this one principle that says this, and I'll put it on the screen for you. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. It's just gold. You know, it's just a different take on the golden rule, which we find in the Bible. Do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. It's hard to live that out, though, all of the time, right? Take, for example, another great guy that I love reading and listening to his work. He's a pastor and an author. His name's Steve Cuss. And the reason why I enjoy his work is because he specializes in this topic on anxiety. He once wrote a story for Christianity Today, which is a national Christian media marketing and magazine organization. It's phenomenal. He tells this story, though, about one day he was getting home after a long trip. He's getting in on the airport, and as soon as the plane lands, they get to their spot, and there's a family behind him that jumps up really fast, and the young girl bolts down the aisle of the plane, and Steve quickly sticks out his hand before the rest of the family can get by. He's like, hey, wait your turn. Like, we're all trying to get off the plane together. The family disregards what he says, brushes right by him anyways. He's absolutely fuming. Angry, how, you know, lack of courtesy right in that moment. He's, are you kidding me? But then later, as he gets off the plane, the flight attendant pulls him aside and he says, hey, just so you know, that young girl, she was having a panic attack. And her family was just trying to help her. Well, it was in that very instant that everything had shifted to a new perspective for Steve. What he saw was somebody being rude was actually their attempt of desperation. Steve later wrote in and said, this was a humbling reminder that when our perspective is narrowed by frustration or unmet expectations, that we often miss what's actually happening right in front of us. And I believe that God knew too, that every single one of us would face things like this in our lives, which is why this verse is such a great reminder for all of us. In verse 5, it says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." That line, it's like foundational. The Lord is with us. The Lord is near. Because peace, it grows through unity. I love that word, gentleness. Unity often, though, it requires a perspective shift. And so when we can shift away from this perspective of, you know, why is this happening to me? To instead maybe a new perspective would be, I know who is standing with me right now. Don't miss this from Paul's even experiences right now. His current set of circumstances, maybe you're already aware of this if you've tuned in throughout this series here. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi while he is under house arrest in Rome or in prison. And while he's doing so, there are a set of Roman guards watching over him day and night, 24/7, each taking shifts. They are like chained to him. And yet Paul has this unique opportunity to share the gospel with each of them. So I love this. I wonder if Paul's perspective is just different because he knew that God maybe was allowing him to keep advancing the gospel even in his circumstances. Because he may have been thinking, boy, you're all chained to me. So who's actually the one in prison here? You have to hear me tell you about Jesus because you are stuck to me and I'm free because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So who's actually the one locked up right now? I also just love what Paul reminds us in chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, they know that I'm in chains." Why? Because of Christ. Paul's circumstances are unique because he allows this opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ. And he knew it, and he was making it known that no matter to the things that we may be facing in our lives or going through or one day might face, we too can make a choice to have a different perspective. And it can bring a peace that goes beyond our understanding, beyond our circumstances. And because of this, God can use all things in all circumstances for whoever is willing to be used to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. It's not just Paul that we see this in Scripture. We see it too a lot of times throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, one story in particular, if you want a great read this week, Genesis chapter 37 through 50 is the story of Joseph. And in this story, Joseph, his whole life was a roller coaster of ups and downs. He at first was sold into slavery by his brothers who couldn't stand him. They were jealous of him, of the favor that he had been given by his father. And so out of anger, they sell him to a slave owner named Potiphar. And Potiphar was a captain in the Egyptian army under Pharaoh. And during that time, Joseph worked really hard. He had good favor even while he was in captivity. Yet then that came a point when Potiphar's wife had this really bad idea, just really malicious, and she accused Joseph of a crime that he didn't commit, gets him locked up in prison. Even while he's in prison, God still uses him in spite of his circumstances to eventually get promoted out of prison to where he's working directly under the Pharaoh himself, second in command of all of Egypt. Years later, he is standing face to face with his brothers again. The very ones who betrayed him years and years, decades before that, who are now struggling to even eat, to make their payments. They're needing food desperately. So they show up at Egypt's doorstep, and who's there? Joseph. And I find this fascinating because he's now standing face to face with his brothers, which he had the opportunity for revenge, but instead he says this, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you?" Which ironically, he could have. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me here to this position so I could save the lives of many people." You see the perspective changing in this story? Could God be using you and your story to persevere through whatever it may be so that he can use you in whatever situation you may find yourself in, to experience God's peace and then to give God's peace to other people as well. So when your faith is being tested, even if it's not right now, it may be one day. Could you too choose to rejoice always, choose to praise God, even giving thanks to God, no matter the setbacks you might be facing, and even if it doesn't seem fair or if it's not right, because God may just be preparing you to have a peace through a different perspective. And those who have perspectives of peace, they're also people who practice prayer, which is the second thing I'd want to leave you with, and how to rejoice in any circumstance. You will find peace through prayer. Paul's words go on to tell us, the verse goes on to verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. I love that. Present your requests to God. Now, if you grew up in the church, this verse might even sound like a spiritual or churchy cliche at times, and I get it, because inevitably, if you're struggling, it seems like someone will be faithful to tell you, just pray about it. You'll be fine. And like, if you could just think, if I could pray my anxiety or my stress or my conflict away, don't you think that I would have done that by now? Of course I would have. But we see in these verses to pray with a heart of gratitude. And then watch what happens next here in these verses. It goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, how's your prayer life these days? You know, who wouldn't want this deep level of peace over our lives? It's worth noting here, too, what Paul is not saying. He's not saying that you won't feel anxious. He's saying that when you feel anxious, that should be our signal to start praying. Anxiety. I heard this guy one time say, oh, anxiety, oh, it's a sin. I'm like, maybe, but maybe it's actually not. It actually breaks my heart when people look down on others who are struggling with anxious thoughts or stress that's overwhelming, because oftentimes it's completely out of our control. Maybe it's a health-related issue or something going on in the brain where it's not functioning the way it was intended to. And in those moments, I'm just thankful for modern medicine. I just believe it's a miracle in so many circumstances. I say that too out of gratitude, because people in my own family have benefited from that and experienced the blessing that has come from that sort of healing. And for me, when I see the stress or anxiety welling up in my own soul, for me, that's a signal light that I need to start praying. I've got to get that checked out in my life. It's like a car. I drive really old vehicles. Anybody else? Okay. If that blinking light comes on, you know you can't just sit and stare at it or yell at it and go say, you know, go away, yellow blinky light. That's ineffective. No, you've got to have it checked out, and probably means you need to lift up the hood to see what's going on underneath. I can't fix cars at all, so I've got to call my guy. Jeremy's speed dial number 3, and if you need a reference, let me know. But the only thing I can fix in my car is basically the clock. And so I'm telling you, if it's true in your own life where you cannot get something fixed, it might be the right time to call somebody who can specialize in those things. Maybe it's a pastor. Talk with somebody here at the church. We would do anything to get you connected with the right person. Maybe it's a counselor. Just being transparent with you, I see a counselor every single week to make sure that I am healthy when leading my family or a church. It's so important to me. And maybe for you too, it might just be the right time to get checked out. If you ever feel like there's barriers coming up in your life for you to experience boundless joy, and there's just something getting in the way and you don't know how to solve the problem, come and talk to somebody. My hope is that you too would have people in your life that will point you back to the one who created you and who loves you and who laid down his life for each and every one of us, so that we all, through Jesus, could have a direct and restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus' words here are so refreshing. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And when I think about things that bear burden on my soul, if there is anything big enough to worry about in your life, it is big enough to pray about as well. Here's what I know is that if it's on your heart or if it's on your mind, chances are God knows about it too, and it's on His. I say that confidently because of this verse in 1 Peter. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. It's a great peace that comes from practicing prayer in your life, and maybe it's worth keeping a journal. It's one thing that I do as well. I journal every single day. And maybe it's setting up a new practice in your life, a new discipline of, I'm going to pray every day this week. Maybe it's right when you wake up, I'm going to pray. Maybe it's before you lie down and go to bed, I'm going to pray. Maybe it's on your drive to school or to work, on your commute, if it's to practice, I'm going to pray. Maybe it's before mealtimes. And with my family, we could go real old school, kneel down beside your bed and do it. And watch how the peace of God starts moving in and through your life and through your families as well. What should we pray about? Anything and everything. I believe the Lord delights when we pray with Him. So don't get me wrong here. Paul's words in verse 6, it says, be thankful. Bring your heart of gratitude with prayer. I'm not saying that we need to be thankful with the storms that you might be facing in your life, if that's the case for you. But maybe with the right perspective and with prayer, you might be able to be thankful for the one who's actually with you in the storm that you are facing. Guarding your heart and your mind at all times. Now, every time you choose to rejoice and rejoice always. Every time you have gentleness in your heart, every time you practice prayer, you're opening your heart to this peace that transcends our understanding and guards our hearts and our minds. I want to invite the team back up here as we close. I will leave you with one last thought here, is that peace is not the absence of your problems. It's not it at all. Peace is the very presence of God with you in your problems, in your life. Just pointing back to that verse 5, your gentleness in your heart. The Lord is near. It's a proximity that God has with you. There's a peace that comes from knowing it and believing it. So all across this room, I want to invite you as we close in a time of prayer and enter our hearts back into a posture of worship. I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute as we reflect on that very peace that we sing about, that we worship God for. And as we're doing so, I want to pray for you, Highlands Church, to experience a peace in a new way that transcends our understanding, and that you too can have your hearts and your minds guided and protected by the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good and you are faithful in any circumstance we may find ourselves in, even when it doesn't seem fair, if it doesn't seem right. Yet you are with us regardless of the storms that we may be facing. We're not alone. And I thank you for that promise that we find in your scriptures, with Paul's example from Joseph in the Old Testament too, that we too may be reminded that as we are not alone, so too your Son Jesus is with us because of his great love, his care for us, and desire. He gave his one and only life so that we could be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father, finding great peace with him. So Jesus, right now, if anybody here is maybe wrestling through a spirit of angst, anxiety, conflict, or stress that's overwhelming, keeping us back from a boundless joy, I pray right now in Jesus' name, you'd help them to turn to you and experience a peace being made new today in your presence. Lord, we need you, and we thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we close and sing.